I've just been off to Ringwood and I've come back. So I thought I've grabbed this time because this is now, I think, the third attempt at a podcast. Now, we had we went down to Highcliffe, the beach, but the weather this weekend is for an English summer is terrible, actually. The wind is ridiculous and kept getting blown about. So Lucas was doing this thing where he was throwing rocks up, pretending to be, or stones, not rocks, to be an airbender. Because then instead of going up, they would go up and then sideways and into the sea. So he had great fun doing that. And I just got bored of being blown about. I was going to do the podcast from the beach, but there was no way of being able to hear anything. I couldn't even hear Lucas when he was talking to me. The wind was that strong and the waves were just crazy. So it's been a... when was the last one? Southend, I think last Thursday was the last podcast I did, which was episode 12, as you well know. So I've chosen to wait this long for 13, purely because, I knew that I'd be down in the New Forest this weekend and it would be quite apt to do something from there. So I thought probably should really sort of give you a bit of a heads up what's happening over the summer. So next weekend is going to be the last, episode 14 will be the last one of series 5. Because then the following weekend after that, which is 2 weekends from now, I do believe we will be starting the series 4 of From the End of the World. So that will be coming to, I think, first couple of episodes will come from sort of North Cornwall, Watergate Bay, where we'll be doing various different activities. Could even be doing one from the Eden Project, which is quite likely, before heading down to Land's End, where it really is from the end of the kingdom. And that's the plan anyway. So and then there's going to be sort of various different podcasts and blogs coming over the summer. So we do the From the Other End, which is when Molly and I go up to Ness Point and Sizewell and other areas of Suffolk and adventure from there. And I'm hoping, I don't know whether this is possible, but it could well be that I will actually get to go to Cornwall again later on in August at some point for a few days. It's maybe with or without Molly, I'm not entirely sure. Hopefully with Molly, because she'll be a bit better. So I've been assured by my vet, and Molly's vet, because it's not my vet, that she's now on this very two very strong courses of antibiotics. So this is hopefully going to clear her up and sort her out, and she'll hopefully put on a bit of weight. So I'm going to feed her up and then take her away again, because then at least that way she will be able to enjoy life a bit more like she did when she was in Cornwall. So that's the plan. So I'm not going to dwell too much on this one being a particularly long one. This is kind of a footnote, really. It's more of a supplemental, and I think I might double up actually with this and post this on markwiley.org at the same time. And I don't even know if anybody actually listens to that. I do from time to time, so it's kind of like a verbal diary, but I don't mind. It's fun and I enjoy it, and I enjoy the editing process and I enjoy making these, and it feels important to me, I think. That's kind of the point of doing these podcasts. It's not that they're important to anybody else, because I don't expect them to be. But they do, it matters to me, and it's a good opportunity for me to talk. Because I don't do a lot of talking, and I certainly don't do a lot of talking about myself. I give this impression that I do. But actually, largely to do with my job and the work and all the other people that I'm connected to and my friends, young and old, I spend a lot of my time helping and supporting and being a friend to them. So talk about their stuff, their interests and their I don't like saying problems, because I don't want to give the impression that everyone I'm connected to has problems. They don't. They have situations that they need to deal with and come to me for advice, and I enjoy sharing that and being a part of that process of a resolution, really. That's kind of the point. As I'm looking in my rearview mirror, right, I've just realised that the horses, which were four, in fact, not three as I thought, or two as I originally thought, but four of them, and they're now fighting and attacking each other. And an Audi driver has now rolled to a stop because they're in the middle of the road headbutting each other, which is really funny. No, that is actually really funny. So I got 10 minutes more or less to sort of to myself, and I thought I'd go and scour the second-hand shops in Rigmud because they've got some good ones, but half of them were closed and the ones that were open just had rubbish in them, so there was no point. So I ended up just buying some hot sauce for my burgers tonight, and I bought Lucas and Joe some writing books, ideas books, so that they can write down their ideas. So what was I saying? I was talking about myself. That's it. So yeah, that's the plan. I like doing this. I like the process of record talking and then editing, which I don't do a huge amount of editing. I only edit out, not mistakes, because I like keeping the mistakes in, but I edit out stuff that would probably not engage people, where I've left long pauses or left, you know, silences and stuff. But I enjoy that whole process. And it's actually made me feel quite good about myself and made me feel like it's important to me to do. Not that, as I said, I don't feel it's important for other people, because I don't think it necessarily has to be. You know, this is it's like journaling, you know, how when they say the therapeutic value of journaling and writing stuff down. I feel this is like this ticks a number of boxes for me, apart from obviously the talking bit, which or the presenting rather, more to the point. But then the recording part, because I love that, the technology, the editing, and then the publishing, because I love doing all of the web stuff as well. Although I'm failing a bit on the Dreadhouse stuff, because I've not done a Dreadhouse episode for a very long time, which is a bit of a worry. There should be another, we should have sort of sped that up, really. I really struggled, because the next episode is Martin Banks' one, and I really struggled writing that. I still haven't written it. I still don't know what to write. Although saying that, we've now got a fantastic concept for Halloween. I've not even talked about that either. So last Sunday, I was zombie for a day at the London Tombs, which was an amazing experience, right? So I got to walk around as a customer, to start off with, just to see what it was all about, and there was like families from Texas and Yorkshire and whatever, and they were sort of wandering around, so I was kind of in between them, and then they got scared, so I was at the front, and then I kind of stepped back a bit because I didn't know what to expect, and then we did the zombie. So this is what it starts off with. They take you through London Bridge at various different times in history. It went from Roman times, medieval times, I think it was, and then Victorian times. So yeah, you have actors doing very good, and they're the very good actors, in fact. The last one, the London Bridge one, was brilliant. The guy was absolutely amazing, very engaging. And then you do the zombie walk, and the zombie walk was terrifying. I mean, I can't even begin to explain to you. It was so good. And it was really funny, because I thought, I'm now going to have to be one of these zombies. And so then afterwards, they then take me into the dressing room, and they're all sitting around on their phones, and it's really funny. You've seen people who just scared the absolute living daylights out of me. They're sort of sitting there on their phones and being very polite. And there was one character who had a chainsaw. He was a huge guy. He was terrifying, and he was just like the sweetest, softly spoken guy, which was really funny. And then so I sat with the guy who was my guide for the day, a chaperone, as it were, and he got me to choose a costume. So I chose dungarees and a lumberjack shirt, which I kind of thought was cool, actually. Didn't spray me with blood as he was supposed to, but it doesn't matter. And then I did my face, so I did like a white makeup, black eyes, and then a bullet wound to the head, so zombie makeup. And everybody said it was really good. I wasn't like massively impressed with it. It's probably better than the stuff I'd done for Halloween before, but it was good enough. And now I've got some latex of my own and some more makeup of my own, so I know what I'm doing. So now it's just working on what Mr. Samhain is supposed to look like. Probably not a zombie, but But, you know, it will do. So that was great fun. And I got to do work on, there was like four stations, and but I did it five times, right? So, so there were four stations, five goes. And there was one where I was in the hospital. So I was on a gurney scaring the crap out of people. I was on a gurney scaring people. Then I was in a shower scene, backlit, so they could see me. And then I pulled the curtain back and stepped out after them. That was cool. And then I was in a circus bit, blowing compressed air at people with a... That was very cool, actually. Then I was the chainsaw guy, so I hid. And it came at people with a chainsaw. And then, there was one more. I went back to laying on a gurney and just stepping up. And people thought I was a part of the... They thought I was, a model. What's it? Mannequin. And then I stepped up and moved, and they absolutely jumped out their pants. It was so cool. So, yeah, it was really good fun. So it's in that, because of that process, it then made me realise that... probably doing too much and the conversations really with the Dreadhouse stuff is probably a bit self-indulgent, really. So it, you know, only really needs Greg to do the introduction at the beginning to get people to come in, and then possibly something in the first section, and then the rest of it can just be a maze, a walk around, because that works really well and it's really engaging. So I thought, well, we're going to do that. So that's the plan for Halloween, and I'm still in the middle of writing it, because we've got to buy the marquees and the tents. So, but the advantage of that is that once we've bought them, we can use them for anything, really, and then the Halloween element of it can be at any time. So it doesn't necessarily just be for Halloween; it can be for any time of the year that we're doing a spooky thing. That could be very cool. And also, not just that, we could do it for other events. And then we've got it's meant to be a community interest company for events, so I know, specializing in Halloween. Right, I think I've talked enough now, actually, because I now have to go home, back to my parents, where Lucas is, and probably get ready for dinner. And my mum's probably wondering where we are, where I am, rather, not where we are. So thanks for listening. This has been episode 14. I'm Mark. No, it's not. It's been episode 13. Sorry. This has been episode 13. I'm Mark, coming to you from the New Forest. And I will see you next week.